The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So I think for you, you call her today, 9/11, and you say,
where were you on 9/11? Where were you 20 to 23
years ago? It's crazy. Did you look at the date today, huh? She's 26, so she might not remember. She's younger than me. So,
yeah.
And you.
And
I'm
you
28.
Don't remember.
Yeah, so she would have been 23. She would have been born in 1998, so she would have been 3. She could have been. So how many times you poop in your diaper on 9/11? It could be your opening line.
All right, you came to the right place, you ding dong. It's called communication, baby.
Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast that's been recording for 8 years. It's your boy Ethan.
And I'm Patrick. That's right, guys. We've been recording for 8 years today.
8 years.
This is the only thing significant about today. The day
it's
that
funny.
You're listening to this.
Yeah, if you're listening to this on Wednesday, September the 11th, 2024, it's funny because I'd name the shows in StreamYard with the date that they're releasing. So in the top corner of this, it says Dating Corner 9/11. It's just this, wow, something bad is going to happen today. The worst advice ever given.
Ryan, can you cut this out?
Yeah.
The joke that I'm about to make? Never mind. I'll, yeah. I'll tell you later.
Say it. Say it and bleep it.
It's not funny enough to build up to. It's not gonna hit.
All right. Carry on.
Anyway. All right. I'm excited. Hopefully this means that we're gonna deal with some kind of national tragedy dating corner questions today. I hope that's
yes.
gonna happen.
What, don't laugh. You can't laugh on 9/11. That's the one thing that you're not allowed to do. We are on the eve of nonstop documentaries and posts on social media about the day that music died and when the Big Bopper tragically flew.
How much do I have to pay you to tweet the lyrics to American Pie on?
I do it for free.
Man, I can't believe it's been 20 years since the Big Bopper.
Since the Big Bopper hit the Twin Towers with a jumbo jet.
Hey, did you know that Dion was supposed to be on that plane? If he had been on there, it would have gone down differently. That's
Who's
true.
Dion Sanders?
The Wanderer. Y'all know who that is?
No.
No, Dion is like a 1960s like.
Oh, he was supposed to be on the Big Bopper plane.
He was on tour with those guys and didn't die. And now he's Catholic and he's friends with Mike Aquilina.
Really? That's cool.
Yeah, really. He's like a big 1960s music star.
Come Seth MacFarlane didn't become a Catholic and become friends with Mike Aquilina after not getting on the 9/11
sick.
Plane?
Yeah. Wait, Seth MacFarlane
the guy who created Family Guy.
Yeah, I thought it was Mark Wahlberg was supposed to be on that plane.
No, Mark Wahlberg just believes that if he had been on the plane, he would have stopped it.
But Seth MacFarlane
Supposed to be on the 9/11 plane and did not get on it for what he was delayed or he was late or something and didn't get on the plane. So like, we
Dang.
Could have not had Family Guy.
That would have been crazy. But wait,
but
Family
I wish,
Guy was released in 2001.
Well, we wouldn't have had as much Family Guy as we have now.
That would have been crazy if Family Guy was just that show that stopped because the creator was in 9/11.
Right.
It's also funny. I guess that makes all the 9/11 jokes okay in that
what?
Show.
Oh, yeah, because he was close to it.
Because he's like, I almost died. so I can make jokes about it, but no one else can, sort of thing. Like Pete Davidson, you know, Pete Davidson can make jokes about 9/11
because his dad died in his dad died in 9/11. Or like Norm Macdonald, who was walking through the streets of Manhattan to find his brother. He was in Northern Canada. You remember that joke? Have you seen this? Do you know what I'm talking about?
This is a Shaggy Dog story with Norm where he's like trying to find his brother.
Yeah, it's Norm. He was just, someone asked him about 9/11. He goes, I walked through the blood and bones in the streets of Manhattan to find my brother. And they were like, oh yeah? Did you find him? Yeah, he was in Northern Canada. It's just an all-time joke.
Oh, it's so funny.
If you have time today on this hallowed day, did you hear look up Norm 9/11 jokes.
Are you familiar with the Gilbert Gottfried post 9/11 controversy?
Oh, yeah. Dude. Yeah, okay. Talk about too soon.
Very funny. And then he recovers by telling the worst joke of all time. Just funny joke.
What was the worst joke of all time?
So it's this joke that's called The Aristocrats, and
dude, that joke sucks.
It's the dirtiest joke of all time.
But it's not even dirty. It's just crass. Like
it's just the worst thing you could ever imagine being said over and over and over again. And then The Aristocrats. I don't get it. But
I don't get it either. It's just like a whole buildup for nothing. Not important. What I really want is the longest piece of dating advice we've ever given.
So, all right.
Team me up.
All right, let's talk about dating.
I'm ready.
Two updates from the 9/4 episode. Square Dance Guy, we're dating now.
Yay. Swing your partner round and round.
And then Camille, do you like Beck from Victorious? If I may, on behalf of all Zillennial women, yes.
What did we say about Beck from Victorious?
I asked the girl if she liked Beck from Victorious. Oh. And Camille said, yes, everyone likes Beck from Victorious. To which I say, that explains a lot about Zillennial women.
About Camille specifically, I think.
Camille should marry the town watchman from our Discord. That's who she should marry.
That's why she was so smitten with Hani on the bus. Because Hani was
just... He did look like Beck from Victorious.
He was an Arabian Beck, you know?
he was, yeah. All right, this one comes from Arathorn, son of Arathorn. Question for the podcast. Hello.
Yep. Yo.
I am a longtime fan of podcasts.
Hey, thank you for all you do.
Here's my question. You. I am a single 30-year-old male. I suffer from a severe mental illness. On good days, I am completely functional, but on bad days, I am dysfunctional and unable to do anything for long hours.
Me
the
too,
bad
brother.
Days happen fairly. Bad days happen fairly often. Needless to say, I am not really capable of caring for children. For this reason, I don't date. As Catholics, we should date to marry and be open to life when we do marry. But since I cannot care for children, I don't think that's a path I should pursue. I've made peace with that. However, something occurred to me the other day. Perhaps I could date once I'm older, like 60, and the woman I date, also 60, could not bear children. What do you guys think about this? I know this is a silly question, but you know, a man can dream. Thanks in advance.
No, it's not silly. It's a valid question. I mean, I wouldn't make that determination yourself that you can't raise kids, you know, or that you can't get married. Mm-hmm. There's got to be someone who has the same thing you have that has kids, you know?
Oh, most definitely. Yeah, I want to challenge your underlying supposition here that you cannot have kids. My friend growing up, he had a mom who would be bedridden with like, I think it was some form of like depression or manic bipolar disorder,
something or other.
And it was hard, but his dad helped him work through it. And he's a very successful, well-adjusted guy. So, I mean, I would definitely like mention that if you start getting serious with someone, say like, hey, mm-hmm. I have this debilitating mental illness that, you know, it puts me up in bed for, you know, a couple of days, sometimes without warning. So if I'm not replying to you, that's why.
Right.
And as it, you know, like, I don't know. It's people are very flexible.
There people, I mean, just think about it like this. My neighbor is a firefighter and some weeks he works four 24-hour shifts and he's at the fire station the whole day and his wife is on her own with the kids. and he's unavailable. So it's not uncommon. I know someone else who's a landsman out in Oklahoma in the oil fields. A landsman is someone who goes out and works in the oil fields. He works in New Mexico for 2 weeks, and then he comes back and he lives in Oklahoma for a week. And he goes out to New Mexico for 2 weeks, lives in Oklahoma for a week. So he has a weird schedule. He's raising his kids just fine, right? There's lots of reasons why you might have a different situation, you know, with the time that you spend with your kids, you know, or you just have to find someone that's okay with that, right? That's it has to be a part of the mutual agreement in getting married. So I hear you. You've probably thought a lot about this way more than we have, but I don't want you to count yourself out. God will call you to marriage with a specific person. He's not calling you to marriage generally.
In theory.
So I don't think you should be afraid to get to know people and date them now. Because if God is calling you to marry someone now, he's going to give you and her the grace that you both need to have a faithful and fruitful marriage. So I would just encourage you to have some more faith in that department. Which is why it's like weird to be like, oh yeah, just wait 30 years, you know, because the person that like, if you're living your life, you know, you might meet people before then, and it would be strange to be with someone that you think you can marry and you feel like God's calling you to marry them and then be like, well, actually I'm supposed to wait till I'm 60 when we're both incontinent. So I'm going to hold off. Like it feels like you're trying to outplay God when yeah. I think maybe you should be a bit more open to what he might have in store for you. I'm not going to say that it's easy. I'm not trying to downplay what you're like. Obviously it's going to be really, really hard. But I certainly think that you could still have a family, you know, if that is something that you're open to and that happens, you know, it's obviously up to you what you choose to do with your time.
Don't count yourself out, man.
Don't count yourself out, man. You're going to do it all right. Trick, my website sucks.
It does, really? Wait, hold on. We've worked really hard on it. It took us ages and ages and ages to put it together. You're telling me that our website is bad?
Yes, we are but simple, humble parish workers. And we tried so hard, but we were so bad at it.
It's probably because I spent all my time studying theology and not digital graphic design.
It's probably because I spent all of my time browsing through WordPress plugins instead of actually making the website.
That'll do it. I have redone a parish website twice in my career because I was the youngest person on staff. I had to work on it. And most parish websites are clunky, poorly written, and horrible and difficult to navigate. And that's why our friend Dan at Briefcase Marketing is sponsoring our podcast to get the word out to you, parish worker, about how you guys can redo your website for a fraction of the cost of what it would cost you to get it done by like some firm that's not even Catholic. They don't even know about the church. Come on, get out of here.
Mm-hmm. And this isn't just parishes. This is any Catholic company that has an old or a cluttered website, or really any company at all. If you work at a small company, if you have a website, Dan at Briefcase Marketing can help you out. This would be a really overwhelming process, Patrick, but they make it really, really simple over at Briefcase Marketing.
Yes. Most companies that you contract to write a website for you will make you write out the whole website, all of the stuff. They're just making it look pretty. They're not doing any of the content. Dan will actually write the website for you so that you don't have to worry about what's going to convert, what needs to be above the fold. What does above the fold even mean? He takes care of all of that for you.
I just send him every day. I send him photos of myself. I say, put this one on the website. Put that one on the website. Put this one on the website. Make this one a GIF. Turn me into, make it so that I'm dancing with Trump and Elon Musk AI. And he says, no problem. No problem. I'll include it on the website. Super easy to work with. Loves putting pictures of me on the website. So if that's your bag, he's got it.
Instead of staring at a blank sheet of paper and writing all of your content, he writes everything for you. So takes care of all of that. And if your company or ministry or parish needs a better website, he has a deal that the first three people to fill out our form on our website will get a free rewrite of the hero section of their website. It's the top part of the homepage, the most important part of your website. So the first three people with, even if you don't go with them, even if you don't work with them, get a free rewrite of the hero section of your website. So fill out our form at thecrunchcast.com/briefcase. Thecrunchcast.com/briefcase. Take it to a form, fill it out, and he'll rewrite the hero section for you. If you love it, he'll work with you. You're going to want to hire him immediately. He's a great guy. Check out his Google reviews. All of his Google reviews are from parish pastors or ministries he's worked with that have given him 5 stars all the way. So go check him out. That's thecrunchcast.com/briefcase.
Thecrunchcast.com/briefcase. Thank you so much to Briefcase Marketing for sponsoring this episode of Putting Ethan on Your Parish Website. Do it now. Okay, goodbye.
Next question.
Yes.
Skipping the silly ones, because today is not a day for laughing. It is a day.
Dude, don't say that.
My friend is going
today
on a Thursday.
Today is a day we remember heroically the social studies teachers that played videos of the firefighter video. Jeez. Seeing the plane fall, and then the firefighters do a swear word, and the social studies teachers have to say, ignore the swear word as you're watching a plane barrel into the Twin Towers.
Please watch this film of the first attack on American soil in decades.
Since Pearl Harbor, thousands of people dying before your eyes in a fiery explosion. But the firefighter is going to say a swear, and so I need you guys to ignore that part. Don't think about that.
Focus on the national tragedy at hand.
Social studies teachers are whack, dude.
My uncle Tim was a Port Authority cop on 9/11. He was stationed at Staten Island Ferry, which, if you know, is close enough.
More like a porta potty cop. You know what I'm saying? Oh, shit. One of those guys that stands out at concerts with the yellow jacket.
Anyway, so he saved 3 people's lives on 9/11. Heroic guy. Basically. And I think teachers, for all their faults, they have many, they went a little too quick into let's do projects on this historical event, in my opinion. Because they had me as a second grader interview. I was in second grade pretty close to after 9/11. And so they had me interview a family member about it. And so I chose my uncle, who almost died there that fateful day. And sometimes I wonder if he's like, why did my nephew make me relive that awful trauma? Like, you're just a Port Authority cop, you know, a decade from retirement, and all of a sudden you're in, you know, you're in a Benghazi situation, and it's like, what do I do? You're in Fallujah on your way home from, all of a sudden Manhattan turns into a war zone. Anyway,
dude, have you seen that? That TikTok of the kid who like does 4 things that I remember about this year. And it's like, we got a dog. We went to Disney World. This plane crashed in a field, killing X number of people. 2 terrorists hijacked planes and flew them into the Twin Towers. It's like just like a child, like 4 corners of a page. It's like a child going through their year of like, oh, what are the things that happened this year? And it's just like, that's just crazy thinking, like, in December of 2001, the teachers were like, all right, kids, what happened this year? And the kid
9/11.
decided 2 terrorists hijacked planes. It's like the kids should not be putting 9/11 in their year remembrance time, you know, in the year. It should be like, I had too many M&Ms and I threw up.
we should not have seen that. We shouldn't have seen it.
No.
My mom didn't let me see it. She like
same
wasn't,
with my
like,
mom
turning on the news and like, let's watch it happen. We should have been shielded from it. I think that might be why you and I, we were shielded from it. So we are.
So
okay,
it's easier to
laughing.
Laugh about it. It's yeah. Cause I don't remember it. I genuinely, I don't remember it. So it's like, I get it. Right. But it's also like, come on, you know,
if they had done it in 1999, it would forget about it. The only reason why it feels recent is because it starts
Patrick, they did do it in 1999.
What? Like, they did?
Did you not know that?
Yeah. My uncle was there too, actually.
Really? Hold on.
Common denominator. It was Uncle Timmy.
There's
one
guy.
I can't say that.
You can't say that. No,
my family members listen to this podcast. Michael Timmy's a hero.
Your controlled operation.
Anyway,
controlled opposition. We asked the question. Please.
My friend is going on a third date with a guy that her family set her up with. She really likes him. He's Catholic, goes to mass every Sunday, funny, sweet, etc. She wants to know if he's a firm no on sex before marriage and contraception in general.
That's a deal breaker. Bad
she doesn't
use
know
of
how
word.
To. What?
Firm. Just like not a word I would use in that situation.
Nice.
Thanks.
It's deal breaker. She doesn't know how to bring it up. Any advice? You just ask.
Just ask. This is not a what are we doing here?
I asked that to my high school girlfriend. I was like, hey, by the way, like no sex before marriage, no contraception. She's like, yeah. I was like, cool. You got that. We were like on our way to third period. You can just have that conversation. It doesn't need to be a big thing.
Yeah. I really don't understand what the problem is.
Yeah.
He's nice. You like him or she likes him. She's going out with him. But she's like, oh, I don't know how to bring this up. I think Gen Z just has an issue talking about sex. They don't know how to do it. Well, they don't know how to do it, but they also did because of COVID.
Because of COVID.
Yeah. What we were forged in the fire through the fire and the flames of Coach Kinzer coming in and showing us pictures of gonorrhea on the projector. And you little liberals never had that. You had to go through, get your own, you get your health education class, put a condom on a banana. You never seen any of that stuff. I seen it live in real person.
You had to learn about sex from the renegade on TikTok. They were like, make sure to practice safe sex, kids. That's what they
you
did.
You learned sex health from when the Island Boys went to the White House and made a PSA.
Shane Gillis released a 80-hour documentary about sex education, and you had to watch the whole thing because commentary.
I would watch that actually. That sounds great. It was like a wonderful time. You just got to talk about it. You just got to bring it up.
I meant Shane Dawson.
That's so different.
That's so different.
Whoa. Because one guy would have sex with his dog, and the other guy is the best comedian alive
of all time.
Right now. So it's like... It's a pretty big difference.
Shane Dawson was in 2020 or like before. He was releasing all those like ridiculously long, stupid documentaries.
I don't remember that. No, I don't remember that.
It was like YouTube was very heavily focusing on long form, and so he was just like, "All right, I'm going to release a 7-part documentary on whether Jake Paul is a psychopath," and every episode was 3 hours long.
Yeah,
it was every 7 episodes of Endgame length movie to figure out if one guy is crazy. He set a mattress on fire in his pool. The answer is yes. What are you talking about?
It's also crazy coming from him because he's literally like a known pedophile and known sexually attracted to animals guy. Yeah. I don't know what the word for that is. Beastophile? That sounds like you really like Mr. Beast. I don't know the word for it. But anyway,
zoophile?
Yeah, that's probably the correct term.
There you go.
What were we saying? You just need. Sometimes the answer for situations like this is just you tell the person to nut up or shut up. Like, do you want to date this person? This is a deal breaker. Figure it out. Like, you need to be brave. All right. There's no getting around this. You just have to stick your neck out there and be willing to look foolish because that's just part of life. So that's what I would tell this person.
Nice.
I would bleep out all the stuff that we said about Shane Dawson, though. I wouldn't include that in the conversation.
Don't. Oh, you actually want to cut that part out?
No. Not to Ryan. To this person that we're giving advice to. Like, you don't need to cut that part out.
That was gold.
That was great.
Everyone loves when I make a mistake, so please keep that in.
Shane Gillis.
Shane Dawson. There's only one Shane in my mind now.
Yeah. Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It is Saturday. I'm about to watch some college football. I got the K-State polo on. As some of you know, my love for college football is another indication of my further swing to the right that you might have noticed on the podcast. One of the other things that's more right wing about me lately is that I really, really hate censorship. I really don't like big tech using their monopoly over the technology that we use every day, silencing people that frankly say things that are true about the Catholic Church, about Catholic social teaching. There's a lot of repression about the truth that's going on out there in big tech land. That's why our sponsor, Patmost Hosting Solutions, is one of the best sponsors we've ever had, because I think they're actually doing something of value. Our website is hosted on Patmost. They are our island of refuge from big tech. That's one of the things that they say. They provide a few different things: top-notch web and app development services, hosting, AI GPU services, and they're all backed. This is the thing I really like about them: no censorship guarantee. So even if they completely disagreed with you, they would still host you. They would still put you out on the web. They would make sure you don't get deplatformed, because they agree that you should be allowed to say what you want to say, right? You should not be censored because of ideological differences. I say a lot of things on this podcast that maybe would get me canceled otherwise, but Patmos, because I'm not worried about that, they always take care of me, which is really, really nice. I have my own person to talk to. I could talk to Camila anytime I have an issue or a question about what's going with Patmos, and they never offshore or sub out any of their work. There's just no better value in tech. So if you are looking to build an app or website or host a current site, or you know someone who's looking to do any of these things, go to patmos.tech. They can help out businesses or missions. So if you're in the church world, they can help you no matter what size you are. There's no cost amount that is the minimum threshold. They want to help everybody who wants this type of service with the great value that they provide. Let's see, the last thing here. Oh, I didn't include this in some of the other ads. You get 10% off your next web project or free hosting migration if you tell them The Crunch sent you. That's 10% off. We need to go back and we need to update. So I'm going to say this a lot more. 10% off if you tell them that The Crunch sent you. That's patmos.tech. Patmos, freedom as a service. Go to patmos.tech, tell them The Crunch sent you. Get 10% off for your favorite mission, organization, church, or business. That's patmos.tech. They keep us free. Thank you, Patmos, for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch.
From John: I just started listening to your podcast this week, and I'm not a podcast guy.
Oh, that's a dub.
We ruined him. We ruined him for all other podcasts. But you guys are both hilarious, and I appreciate your ability to be unhinged / being bros while also rooted in the Catholic faith. I, 23 male, met Jane, 26 female, in August of 2023 and was intrigued by her. I didn't act on it.
Why did you do your hands like that when you said intrigued.
I was intrigued by her, but I didn't act on the intrigue because I was dating this girl, Zoe. 2 months later, Zoe and I broke up. A few months after that, I was thinking about Jane, followed her on Instagram in January of 2024, have intermittently responded to Instagram stories of hers. Jane and I live 6 hours away from each other. She works at my old high school. I might end up working there too. I recently saw Jane last month at a retreat for my high school, and we had a great conversation. I was stopping by for the evening, and she was there for the week. One conversation we had was about teaching pedagogies, as we are both teachers. Last week, I started my first teaching job and remembered my conversation with Jane. I messaged her on Instagram and asked if she could send some tips and tricks about teaching, and in response, she said I could text her and send her number. Dude, you're in. You are in.
Come on.
Let's go.
Yes. It's made.
The opposite it's advice over. For men and women. For men, it's always follow the girl to the second location. For women, it's never follow the man to the second chat location. Always remain on the main chat.
Yes.
Good job, man.
It sounded like you were giving advice on how to stalk someone for a second. Like, it's always follow her to the second location, dude. Never stop
always
at the first.
Always follow her to the second location.
It's a decoy. That's great.
If you're invited to the second location. The response, she attached her number. This is exactly what I was hoping for. Yeah, man.
Yes, yes, yes.
I called her. I called her to save her number from Instagram. She called me back. I think it was a missed call from me. We talked for 10-ish minutes on the phone. Oh, nice.
Oh, come on.
Dude, he upsold it. Look at you, man. Perhaps I'm being too much. Unsure of how to proceed, given we live 7 hours away. They got further away. He said six earlier.
He did say six.
7 hours away from each other. I want to ask her on a date.
Mm.
Before I'm going to be in the same city as her / my hometown. I'll be there in 2 months. Unsure of how to approach it or if I should at all. I don't know how she feels about me. Also, if she says no to going out with me and it goes poorly, it would put me in a weird situation if I returned to my old high school for employment. Help. Anyway, that's it.
No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't be, unless you're teaching in the same department and your classrooms are right next to each other. I feel like high school teachers, like the history teachers, never saw the English teachers because they were on different wings. You know, like you had the history area over here and the English area over here.
Yeah.
And then the band area over here.
And it's what you're saying, it's not weird even if you have history.
It's times like these. Early when we were doing 9/11 stuff, I was like, I love this podcast, never going to quit, I want to keep going. But then you say stuff like that, and I'm like, this is the last episode, I don't want to do it anymore. You know?
Oh,
it's so tough with you, because I feel like I'm at my best and my worst when I'm around you, you know?
Yeah.
I can't quit you.
I think... people overestimate how, like, if I go on a couple of dates and we break up, it's going to be weird. That's not true. I am friends with people that I have gone on a couple of dates with.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it can be even, yeah. I've been in weddings of, like, people that I've liked and gone on dates with and had crushes on and all these things. And, like, stood by the husband's side, you know, as he married her, and it's like, it's fine, you know, doesn't matter.
Yeah. And it's because once though, if long enough time horizon, things stop mattering, because it's like, oh, I don't care that you've had history with my wife, because the mm-hmm. history you had was three dates and I have had three children. So
exactly,
it's very clearly different.
Yeah, it doesn't matter in any type of way. On a long enough time horizon. So I think for you, you call her today, 9/11, and you say,
where were you on 9/11? Where were you 20 to 23?
It's crazy.
Ago,
did you look
huh?
at the date today, huh? She's 26, so she might not remember. She's younger than me. So,
yeah.
And you.
And
I'm
you
28.
Don't remember.
Yeah.
He
so
is
she 20, she would have been she would have been born in 1998, so she would have been 3. She could have been. So how many times you poop in your diaper on 9/11? It could be your opening line. I wouldn't ask her about 9/11. What I would say is, hey, I'm going to be in town on this day. I want to plan out far enough ahead to make sure that I get time on your calendar, but I'd like to take you out on a date when I'm in town. And then if she says yes, great. Then you can have fun, flirty times on the phone in between now and then. And if she says no, say, awesome. Sounds good. Talk to you later. TCYL. Women don't give men their phone numbers unless they like them or they think that they're gay. So as long as you're pretty straight passing gas, you know, then I think you should be fine.
As long as you're straight passing gas.
Have you seen it's a TikTok, as I think is really funny. Yeah, I'm straight passing gas, and then he farts. It's so funny.
Oh, it's good.
Sometimes that's TikTok good. Makes me laugh. I see them, they come up, I get the unusual memes, you know, on my home. Every couple of weeks there's a new unusual memes. I watch that. It's great. It's just great comedy out there.
Oh man, I love unusual memes.
Yeah. That's it. Is that all the questions we have? I guess we have time for one more. We have time for one
should
more.
An anchor buy a car to get a date.
Yes. Hello. It's me from the future. Well, in this podcast, I'm from the future, but for you listening, I'm from the past. And if this ad gets used again, I'm even more in the past. But I'm not in the future for the future me that's recording a future episode that this ad is in. But what I'm going to talk to you today about is the Consecrate America campaign. We just had the year of the 3 years of the Eucharistic Revival and the big National Eucharistic Congress. But Carmel Communications is on a mission to consecrate America to the Eucharist. So you can go to consecrateamerica.com. We're hoping that we get as many people as possible to sign a petition to the U.S. bishops to consecrate America to the Eucharist. As of right now, I'm looking at the page, 137,000 people have signed. They're aiming for 250,000. You head over to consecrateamerica.com. You can join the petition. Essentially, we believe that the people who believe in the Eucharist should continue to advocate for adoration, reverence in the liturgy. I mean, we can't just stop because the Congress happened and it's over now. It feels like it's over now. We have to keep going. And one of the ways that Carmel Communications is doing this, and they are petitioning the bishops to consecrate America to the Eucharist. 50 million American Catholics have left the Catholic faith in the past 30 years. It is time to stop seeking worldly solutions to spiritual problems. If we consecrate America, then we will be placing this into God's hands. We will be seeking out a spiritual solution to a spiritual problem. So head on over to consecrateamerica.com. Sign the petition today. I'd like to thank Carmel Communications for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch. Go to consecrateamerica.com. Sign the petition now. See you later.
I am dealing with an insidious situation, like from the movie.
We are a big movie podcast this week, huh?
A local Mazda dealership is using one of the...
Read it again. Start over.
Anchor, I love you, man. That's so funny.
That's a good guy. He's not even trying to be funny, dude.
He's like, okay, here's the problem, guys. A local mug.
Anchor, I'm not laughing at you.
No, dude, I'm not laughing at you at all. Just the setup is so good. A local Mazda dealership is using one of their cute blonde employees to advertise on dating apps.
Good, 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 good.
I like the girl on Bumble, added her on Snapchat. All the posts are about her work. She seems like an innocent, here's my day at work guy post to her stories. But once I reached out, she's all business. Think of car sales phrases. That's what I'm getting out of her. Let me know when you're ready. We'll get you in something. So I turned around and said, well, I'd like to get in your calendar this coming weekend as a date. Hope to see what she says.
Wow.
Do it, man.
So first of all, I think it's you're interacting with an AI GPT plugin, most likely. I don't think this is a real woman. I think they made up a girl. And they're using her to sell Mazdas.
Local Mazda dealership AI woman.
It just sounds like the top of a news story on Fox 4. You know, local Mazda dealership under fire for the use of AI female chatbot luring in men. Oh gosh. Yeah, I think if you can get, she's obviously not going to date anybody who sees her from the ads, you know, like,
no,
she knows what she's being used for. She's agreed to it. I think it's a bold move to ask her out. I hope it works out for you. I think this is great. I think this is the type of energy actually that more men on this freaking podcast need.
Oh, yeah,
is
like, absolutely.
Is the like, who cares? Yeah. Like what she's going to say, who cares what anybody thinks about this? I think she's cute. This probably isn't going to work, but I'm going to try anyway. I love that. That is good energy. Yes.
This Judd Doomer response is like, Oh man, men turning every interaction into a thinking the girl is flirting with it. No. No, man. Just say, hey, I'd like to take you on a date. No. Cool. Thank you. See ya.
Yeah.
That's it. You don't have to be weird about it.
The problem you don't have to think about it ever again.
Yeah.
Then there's never a what if. Right. If she's on Bumble and if she added you back on Snapchat. I mean, come on. If she would date you if you bought a car. But I can't think of a Mazda that a woman would respect. You know?
You can't.
If you bought it. No. What are you buying? A Mazda?
Spoilers.
A Mazda 3?
Everyone I know with a Mazda was like dressed like Jesse Pinkman. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it's cool. I think if you're going to get a car that starts with an M, you get a Mitsubishi and you get one that is kind of like what you'd see in a Japanese street race, you know? I think that's...
Why didn't you go with Mercedes?
Because who wants a Mercedes?
Because it rhymes with ladies, and you can say, ladies, get in my Mercedes.
All right, well.
Then you can, like, drive around in a foreign...
Get in, Rhonda. We're going to Honda.
only purchase vehicles from countries that were fighting the Allied powers during World War II. Only buy cars from Axis-powered countries. German, Italian, Japanese. That's it.
Never ask a man his salary. Never ask a woman her age. Never ask Volkswagen what it was doing between 1939 and 1945.
Or Suzuki.
Saab? We've talked about Saab on this podcast.
Was it Suzuki or Subaru? One of those two made the planes that hit Pearl Harbor. One of those two Japanese companies made the planes.
This might be what you were thinking, but the name of the guy who led the attack, his name was Lieutenant Suzuki.
No, he also owned the car. Japanese naval aircraft at Pearl Harbor, Mitsubishi. I think that's what it was.
It was Mitsubishi.
Yeah.
Frequently asked questions about Pearl Harbor. Let me click on that link. Should we rent a car or purchase a tour? Can we bring food to the Pearl Harbor Visitor Center? What's the best place to have lunch at Pearl Harbor?
Dude, Siemens made the gas chambers? That's crazy.
What website are you on that's like showing you who manufactured all of the atrocities of World War II?
Reddit. What do you think?
Oh, okay, fair enough. That's it for us on this 9/11 podcast. I need to go lay down. I've been through a lot today, just with this podcast with you.
Thank you for making us laugh like that, Anchor.
Thank you, Anchor. That's always a good...
Even on this hallowed day.
We still find ways. And that's how we know that the terrorists didn't win.
Yeah, because we can still laugh.
They may take our towers. They may take all of our privacy through the Patriot Act. But they'll never take our podcasts.
As the late, great Rudy Giuliani once said...
He's still alive.
When asked by the later and greater, what's his name on Saturday Night Live? Who produces Saturday Night Live again?
Michael Lauren?
Yeah, Michael Lauren.
Lee Iacocca.
Lauren Michaels.
Yeah.
Like the late, great Rudy Giuliani said when Lauren Michaels asked him, can we be funny again? Why start now? That was the first Saturday Night Live episode after 9/11 was Rudy Giuliani and Lorne Michaels sitting down for conversation, and Lorne goes, "So can we start making jokes now?" And Rudy Giuliani goes, "Why start now?"
That's such a bad response to that question. You're supposed to say yes.
No, he's like, "Why?" As in, you were never funny, so why start now?
Oh, I get it. I thought he was saying, like, no, it's too early to start jokes after 9/11.
I need to stand outside of a
I've called a state of emergency on jokes. All right, that's it. That's it for the pod. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for 8 years of the Crunch Catholic Podcast.
Here's to 8 more.
I'm not stopping until I am way more financially solvent. And that's a fact.
We're going to make $1 million off of this podcast, baby. Just like yes, I said sir. 8 years ago.
All right. God bless. Goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy one, get one free on our full line sale of tender Tyson chicken with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.